Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's show of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and we're so excited that you've joined us today. If this is your first time in, we want to thank you for joining us and finding one of the best-kept secrets on the Internet when it comes to tennis. And if this is your second or third time listening, we just want to thank you for continuing to support our network. We have several different shows that come on the air Tuesdays. We have Parenting Aces with Lisa Goodman Stone. She broadcasts out of Atlanta, Georgia, and she broadcasts at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then we have Dr. Stephen Clark, Ph.D. He comes on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then on Wednesday, we have American Tennis with Chuck Creasy that comes on before I come on. Then we have American College Experience that I am on. Then on Thursday, we have the Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association Perspective with John Denise, and he comes on Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Central Standard Time. So as you can tell, we have many, many shows out there for you to listen to, and each week we bring you guests on that don't necessarily get their stories told, and we're willing to spend some time out of our day to tell you their story, and that's what we've got today. We've got head coach Brian Nelson from the National Junior College Athletic Association Seminole State College. He'll be coming on here shortly, and Brian's one of the most successful coaches out there in America today, and we're going to catch back up with him. It's been a while since he's been on the show. But before we get to Brian, I want to mention that The inaugural Oracle ITA Masters concluded over the weekend and crowned champions in men's singles, women's singles, men's doubles, and women's doubles. This tennis was played at the Malibu Racquet Club, and it was also broadcast on the Tennis Channel as they broadcast the men's singles and women's doubles championship finals. And it was the first National Collegiate Championship of the 2015-2016 singles. In the men's singles, TCU's Cameron Norrie took on Duke's Nicholas Alvarez. Norrie was able to win the first set 6-3 and then take the second set in a 7-6 tiebreaker with a 7-2 score. There was an injury with North Carolina's Haley Carter, so Virginia's Janielle Collins earned the women's singles championship in a walkover, which led to the doubles final taking the place of the singles title on the television side. Excuse me. Where we had USC's Juliana Almost and Gabby Smith. They took on Kentucky's Mami Adachi and Aldilia Sutati from USC, or in USC, took the match with the score of 6-2, 6-2. So the last match to be contested was the men's doubles final, and the men's doubles team of Luca Cortinelli and Ryan Shane, the number 2 seed in the draw, they defeated Pepperdine's Guillermo Hadich and Gabrielle Sidney in straight set 7-5, 6-4 to claim the doubles title. And we're excited that college tennis has gotten underway in the fall season. And we've got the ITA regionals that have been played last weekend and are being played this weekend, and hopefully we can catch up with Coach Nelson and see how his team's getting ready for that event. So let me see if I can bring him in the air. Coach Nelson, are you there?
I am, Jason. How are you?
I'm having a great day, Brian. It's good to visit with you again. Glad you returned to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm I loved speaking with you last time and getting our little information about our school, and glad to be back on. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you back on, Brian. And just to kind of refresh our family and friends of how you ended up there at Seminole State College with some biographical information.
Yeah, Seminole State, we're, you know, a small town, about 7,500. We're east of Oklahoma City. We're about an hour from Oklahoma City. I'd say about 45 minutes from Norman, Oklahoma, and 2.5 hours from Dallas. So we're kind of right in the middle of Oklahoma. And the college, we pretty kind of a small college. We have about 2,200 enrollment, and that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, and Brian, how did you end up as a coach there at Seminole?
Well, I played here from 98 to 2000, and then I went on to East Central University, a D2 school here in Oklahoma. And I love the Seminole and the college and the people. So I kind of talked my way back into, you know, wanting to become the coach here, and had some friends in administration that were able to think about that and consider that, and then got back in here in 2007.
Now, Brian, you don't just coach one program. You coach two. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right. I've got both the men's and women's programs. And I don't know if you remember, but I have a couple other jobs as well.
Yeah, tell people about your other.
Well, I'm the swimming pool manager, the dorm director of one of the residence halls, and also teach classes.
Wow, so you've got triple duty or quadruple duty there at the school. How do you manage all your time?
It's tough. It's tough. You know, there's a lot of things to remember, a lot of phone calls, questions to take, but. I don't ever get too frustrated. I don't ever get overwhelmed. I just, things are going to happen, and you just gotta figure them out.
Brian, you've been there now. This will make your ninth season there at Seminole State. You've had quite the run, and you're a little modest in your approach here, but you've been in the national title hunt all the years you've been there at Seminole, right?
Yeah, we've been pretty successful, especially on the men's side. We've finished in the top five. Last year we finished fourth. Also last year we had our best women's year ever. We finished sixth. That's what keeps me hungry, is trying to get that team national championship. That's always been my goal since I started here. We've won a few individual national championships, but yeah, we've been pretty successful and been competing.
When you look back on those nine seasons, which one would you consider your most successful so far, Brian?
You know, I would say just standing out, there's a couple. We had a really good team in, I think, about 2010, 2011 on the men's side. And, you've got to have a little luck and all the players on the same page. We had a really good team, but they weren't just all on the same page, and we didn't finish as good as we should have. And that was on the men's side. And then last year was our most successful season and probably my most enjoyable season. We finished fourth in the men and sixth in the women, like I said, which was our highest finish of any year that we've ever had at Seminole State.
Yeah, so Brian, you had to let – go ahead, I'm sorry, finish up.
Well, I was going to say it was great to see those teams come together, be on the same page, and really compete and want to win.
Yeah, it's got to be a reflection of the coach. I mean, after 9 years of being there, you've learned the ropes of what it takes at the junior college level to be successful, and you keep doing that to each year. Brian, you've got an interesting coaching philosophy there to get these teams to nationals each year. How did you go about developing the philosophy?
I don't know. I think I put together my own philosophy on previous coaches and just picking a little bit of each, what I like from certain people, what I didn't like. Just putting that together, and mine is just, discipline, hard work. I love putting together one of the best schedules. I think, tough teams and being on the road just makes you stronger. And so I think that's what strengthens you. And, always to have a good season, you got to have a little luck. You got to have no injuries. The team has to be on the same page, et cetera.
Brian, do you teach this as an individual sport with team opportunities or a team sport with individual opportunities?
I teach it definitely as a team sport with individual opportunities. You know, our first goal is always, I tell the kids, we want to, first goal is a team championship or do the absolutely best we can as a team. And then, you know, that's, you know, really if you do your own job, it's going to come together as a team. But our goal is always team first.
Yeah, now, how do you keep things fun there at Seminole?
Well, you know, keep things fun. I actually, you know, since I'm a dorm director, I still live on campus, so I'll try to come up with many things, such as, you know, if we have a weekend off, I might come up with a red-blue scrimmage, our team colors to keep, you know, keep the kids involved, keep the kids playing, keep them interested. I try to schedule, you know, the most we can. NJCA, we're blessed with several dates, more than any other division. So we're probably one of the few schools that actually max out our dates or come close to it. But with that, we've got to do a lot of fundraising and stuff on our weekends off to try to help supplement, you know, the school's budget and to be able to travel to those events.
Yeah, you're playing a full fall schedule. When I looked at your schedule, Brian, you've got 35 dates that you can use, and I think you use them all in this year.
Yeah, I do. I pretty much do. I actually keep it in Microsoft Excel and schedule 35 dates and really stay on track of it. That way we can use our maximum dates. Might have to end up canceling something later on just to stay in that window. But, yeah, I think we do pretty much use almost our entire dates. Especially
let's
we have a lot.
Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about those men just a little bit. You've been playing some duels already. How have you been doing?
We did well. So far we've played 4 duel matches. There's not too many teams want to play duel matches in the fall. They don't really, you know their lineup, nor do we. But I just think the weather is beautiful around here in the fall. We've got good temperatures and stuff. So we've played 4 duel matches so far, and the men are currently undefeated at 4-0, and the women are 3-1. We had a very close loss to Oklahoma Baptist University.
Yeah, I notice you're playing 7 duels in the fall. You must have done some really good negotiating to get these teams to play a duel match in the fall.
Well, yeah, I did. You know, a couple of those are really close, but I would say 3 or 4 of those are really close. But even, you know, I'm kind of crazy. If we go to a tournament on the road, we might even play, for example, a duel match the day before the tournament at their place and then go on to the tournament for the Friday and Saturday. So that way we can add in a little extra match play.
Yeah, well, that's smart and an easy way to get some extra dates on the schedule. You play a lot of interdivisional matches. Is that important to your program?
Hello?
Hello, are you there? Can you hear
me? Yeah, sorry about that. It cut out for a second.
All right. I was mentioning that you play a lot of interdivisional play in the fall particularly. Is that important to your program?
It is, yeah. Anytime I think, you know, I love the interdivisional play. It's really cool with our sport of tennis how we get to play NCAA Division I, Division II, NAI, all that stuff. So it's great. It's a great recruiting opportunity for our players. I have several sophomores this year, so a lot of them are still wide open on where they're going to go. So to be able to play some other universities gives them a great chance of the coach to recruit them and also for us to get some tougher competition, and it's just a win-win all around.
Yeah, you play quite an interesting schedule, particularly in the spring. You've got Baylor, North Carolina A&T, A&T, Georgia, Gwinnett, Colorado State at Pueblo, and Nebraska, several of those Division I teams. How did you do that?
I just had to get out there and touch base with a lot of people. Also, we've had some successful players, and some of those colleges want to recruit our guys or girls. So, yeah, we've added Baylor. We played Baylor last year on the men. We've added them again this year. Like you mentioned, NAI, No. 1, Georgia Gwinnett. We're going to take a men's spring break trip over to Florida this year, so that's how we're adding in North Carolina A&T, Bethune-Cookman, Georgia Gwinnett. We've been doing that the past 3 years with the women. So this year I thought I'd give my guys an opportunity to do that. And, yeah, that's pretty much how we got those guys added in there.
Coach, does it hurt your program to play these interdivisional schools in any way?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any way that it would hurt.
Well, I have to ask, I mean, because you are so successful, do some of these teams kind of shy away from you if you beat them or play them close?
Oh, definitely. You know, there is some people that check you out, and they don't want to lose to a junior college or a community college. But, you know, the ones that we have year in and year out, we get them back on the schedule. And I used to coach Division II as well before here, and I love playing junior colleges. So if I were a university coach, I would love the possibility, the opportunity, because, you know, you've got kids you can recruit and possibly get on your team.
Are you successful in the interdivisional play?
Yes, we are. We are. We, you know, the Division I schools obviously are really high up there. I mean, they're tough. But as far as all the D2s around here, we've done well. Some of the teams that are top 25 in the country in D2, we've beaten in the past few years. So we've been very successful.
In your nine seasons there at Seminole State, have you been able to develop some rivalries amongst some of the schools that you play?
Are you specifically thinking about junior college or?
No, or just in general. I mean, because you do play so many interdivisional matches, surely through the course of the years, you've got some pretty tight matches there and been able to develop some rivalries.
Yeah, I think we're good with many teams. We always have some good matches, and specifically, I don't know, if you're thinking we love to play Collin College, we love to play Cali College. We've always been pretty close there and had some good battles in the past, but they're friendly. But, the seems like the kids always love competing against those teams specifically.
Yeah. So you got an interesting job there. You replace your players every 2 years, a coach. How many players did you lose last year, and how many did you have to replace them with?
Oh, yeah. As you know, you're a former Judico coach. You're recruiting basically every year. You're lucky to have the kids for 2 years, but, you know, there's a lot of times you might have them for just 1 year. So we did graduate. We were very heavy in freshmen on the women's side last year. We had 9 freshmen. We did lose a couple, and we added 3 more three more freshman girls. So we've got 9 again. So this year we have 6 sophomores, 3 freshmen. And on the men's side, I did bring in, I think we graduated 4, and I was able to bring in 8 new freshman guys. So we added a big group of guys this year.
Coach, have you played your fall regional yet?
Nope, it's coming up this weekend, actually. That's what I'm getting prepared for. We host it, and we're hosting it in Oklahoma City at the Will Rogers Tennis Center, a nice, really nice 24-court facility. And so that'll be this Friday and Saturday.
24 courts, you're going to be able to get through with that tournament pretty quickly.
Yes, it will. It's, you know, the JUCO area is getting a little bit smaller in the regionals. So this year we just have 3 teams. We have us, Barton College, and Cali College. And so with us 3 competing, I think we're on the men's side, we're going to have a singles draw of about 21. Women's side, we'll have a draw of approximately 18. And so, yeah, we should be able to finish in 2 days, possibly a third day, possibly finals on Sunday.
Yeah. Now, you win the regional and you get to qualify for the small college championship, Brian. Have you been there before?
I have. Luckily, every year I've been here, we've had somebody qualify. So I have. I've been there 8 years in a row, and so it's been great. I love that. It's my favorite tournament of the year, I would say.
So which players are you looking for to get you to the National Small College Championship this year, Brian?
You know, we're pretty solid on both sides. I think we will be the number 1 seed in all 4 draws, singles, doubles, men's and women's. So we have a great shot to possibly win several of those or all of those. We'll see this weekend. My returning guy, my male player, he won the regional and the national championship last fall, and he's back. So you know, he's got a great opportunity to do well this weekend in regionals.
Yeah, does it? And how do you do at the National Small College, Brian? Have you made it to the finals? Have you made it to the championship round?
Yeah, we have. For example, that guy on my team, a sophomore, he won the singles national championship last year, but then he lost in the Super Bowl to Armstrong Atlantic's player in three sets. So he was right there in the Super Bowl, could have possibly done something really well.
Yeah, Armstrong Atlantic typically has a tough program, Brian.
Very tough, yeah. Our guy won the first set, and I thought he could take it, but then he ended up losing 4-4 after that.
Yeah. And then have you ever made it past a small college? I guess not to make it to the big dance?
No, we haven't. That would be great, but that's very tough. And that's still one of our goals. That would be great. That would be neat to go on and do that.
Now, you in the JUCO level, you've undergone some rule changes. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, we have, Jason. It's been a roller coaster, I would say, the past 3 or 4 years. We've changed almost every single year, and again, this year we have some new rules.
What did you change from last year? What were some of the changes that have been made recently?
Well, I would say about 3 years ago, I think it was, is when we changed from allowing internationals to pay their own way. For example, the wording was international. Back then, it used to be where you could have two on scholarship, any others could walk on and pay their own way. About 3 years ago, we came up with the HS-3 and +3, where only two internationals or +3, -3 could be on your team. And then this year, that the wording is just totally taken out of the rules. There's no more international HS +3, -3. Basically, just like NCAA, your scholarships are as you are, and you can recruit whoever you want to fill those scholarships.
So you can have as many internationals on your team as you'd like. Is that right, Brian?
That's correct, yeah. There's no more. I mean, I guess we just got to stop saying the word international. Now it's just student-athlete, and you can have any student-athlete from anywhere in the world on scholarship or walk on, whatever.
Wow. Now, are you a fully funded program?
We are, yes. Yes, I'd like to say we definitely are, and we're blessed to have that, and that's what helped keep us pretty strong year in and year out.
Did that give you some recruiting challenges at the end of last year to decide, do I recruit all internationals or do I keep some Americans on the team? What challenges were you faced with, Brian?
You know, I know it is me being an Oklahoma kid and growing up, I know I was blessed to have the opportunity to play and stuff like that. My philosophy, though, is I'll go for the best. You know, the best available recruit, whether it be from Texas or whether it be from Africa. So if I sit down and, you know, watch their video and check out their results, their rankings, et cetera, if I think, you know, I'm going to offer that scholarship to whoever I think's the most talented player who I think could help us win. So I did have some challenges, yeah. I did have some challenges thinking, you know, what to do on a couple of players, but all things usually work themselves out.
Well, Brian, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Do you, with your players that I've really lost my thought. Oh, sorry, Brian. So what do you work on in the fall, Brian?
Well, in the fall, I try to tell all of our kids they need to come in right away. Really it starts in the summer. I tell the kids they've got to do certain conditioning. They've got to play a lot of tournaments because I want them to come in immediately in the fall. Within the fall, for example, this year we played September 1st. So we started within 2 weeks after school started. So obviously they need to come in match fit and in good shape and stuff like that. So we'll start playing matches right away. You know, conditioning is still the key because this time of year it's very hot here, and they've got to be in good shape to compete in these day-long tournaments, these marathon tournaments on Fridays and Saturdays. So basically just a lot of drills, a lot of match play, and a lot of conditioning. Then we'll start, you know, after the season's over is when we'll start more strength and conditioning.
With the JUCO rules, how many hours are you allowed to practice in the fall with your team?
We don't necessarily have a certain number of hours. I don't per se. We usually just stick to about 2 to 3 hours per day per team. Never hardly over 3 hours per day, and that's including conditioning. And then, yeah, we're lucky. We can start day one when school starts all the way until November 15th for junior college. We don't have that 45-day window like NCAA.
You guys are at a distinct advantage with the number of dual matches you can play and hours you can practice, Brian.
Oh, exactly. JUCO. That's what I love about it. I love competing and playing matches. And NJCAA definitely has a step above NCAA as far as able to play matches and stuff like that.
You think that'll ever change, Brian?
Oh, I would say, you know, I would hope not. I do like it because, you know, these NJCAA programs, community college, junior colleges, they're in a lot smaller towns. There's less things to do. You really need to keep the kids involved and keep them into stuff. So that way we can still get out and play those tournaments and keep on going as far as we can. Plus, you know, really the reason of JUCO is to develop the kids for NCAA. So obviously the longer you have to develop them as far as practice and match play, the better they're going to be when they transfer on to the university.
So in the fall, do you spend a lot of time doing certain things? I mean, are you working on doubles quite a bit? Do you work on singles? How do you spend your fall practices?
Yeah, definitely both. Singles play, match play, and then we're working on doubles. I think finally we've found our perfect combinations for doubles. That always takes a few weeks to figure out who's good with who, so we figured that out, and I think that's going to really help us in this weekend's regionals and give us a great shot to win regionals with a few different combinations. I think we have some strong enough doubles teams that even our number two or number three doubles team could possibly win the regional championship.
Is the regional championship the highlight of your fall?
Yeah, I would say the regional and the national. If we're lucky enough to have somebody qualify for nationals, that's a highlight. But the regionals is always thing. The fall regionals is what I gear our team up for. You know, there's some teams that only put in, and it is expensive. It's pretty expensive. It's the most expensive tournament of the fall. But I like. We have a big roster. We have 12 men and 9 women. So, you know, we always debate on who to put in the draw. But the past couple years, I've put everyone in the draw on the men and women, even though that's a lot of players. But I just love giving every kid the opportunity just to tell them that they have a chance to win it. So I hate sitting out some kid that, even though they could be a lower player, I hate not giving them the opportunity to still have the chance to win that regional. So that's what we tell our kids, and making sure everybody's on, you know, everybody has a chance.
Brian, do you keep up with your rivals? How are they doing?
Yeah, I do. I'm one of those guys. I always look up to see who's recruiting who's signed who. And I know they're doing well. I know ASA College, Tyler Junior College, they're always at the top. So I know they've got some strong teams. And I know on the women's side, the Florida schools have signed some good players, so it's going to be another good year.
Yeah, so what do you think you're missing to win nationals, Brian?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I think this year we have a strong men's team, and, you know, that nationals is tricky. You've been there before. It's 5 days in a row. In May, and it all depends on a lot of it depends on the draws, who plays who to get those certain points. you've got to have, I think you've got to have a pretty decent draw, and then you've got to win some tight matches there towards the end to get it done. So, you know, there's a little luck involved, but also you've got to get things done during the year. You've got to win matches to even help your possible seeding at Nationals to set yourself up.
So, I got to ask, are you still an underdog, Brian?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. We're an underdog. We've never won a team championship. We've had some good teams. I know I'm sure some of the top teams are still a little, you know, a little eager to see how we are or how we will compete. But, yeah, I would say we're definitely still an underdog to some of the teams at the top.
Yeah. Now, the next question I have is you know, as college coaches, we're oftentimes trying to build a program. Brian, are you building a program, or have you built a program there at Seminole State?
Well, I think we have built a very solid program, and I want it to still take off. You know, my next step is probably facilities and improving that and trying to do better, and just continue on to doing well. Obviously, like I've mentioned several times, is a team championship. But yeah, I think we have built a program. After 8 years now, we've had some kids graduate from college, and now that's what I'm starting to even reach out to our alumni. We need some of those kids, alumni that have graduated and got good jobs now, to possibly, you know, help give back a little bit, maybe come up with some benches, some windscreens. You know, we really want to improve our facilities to where it gives our players the best possible chance to, you know, to practice every day and just like they would compete.
Yeah, now, Brian, I wanted to revisit those JUCO rules just a little bit, and I remember what it was I was wanting to talk to you about. Your rivals out there, have they changed their philosophy? Have you noticed that they've started to recruit more internationals?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, we're still brand new into this. We're only a couple months into this, but, yeah, I would definitely say so. We always had kids the past couple years, several emails from, you know, some good international players, but if you had two on your roster already, there's nothing you could do. So I think now those kids are still contacting us, and, you know, obviously if you want to compete and do the best you can, you're going to look at all options. And I have seen several other teams pick up, you know, maybe five or six internationals on the men's side. It's always a little more difficult on the women's side because we have more women's teams, and there's more scholarships, I would say, out there in Division I and Division II for women. So it's a little bit tougher. But I have seen teams pick up more guys and girls.
Well, and I noticed back whenever I was in the coaching ranks that anytime I could get three, sometimes four internationals on the team, that I was looking at a pretty successful year. Still mm-hmm. got some Texas kids involved in the singles and the doubles. Do you think that'd be the case for you guys, three or four internationals and the rest of American kids?
Right, yeah. On the women's side, I actually was able to pick up four international girls. I had one already, and I picked up three very talented new ones. And then, just like you said, I've got, I'd say, a couple Oklahoma girls and three or four Texas girls. So that's going to make us much improved, I think, on the women's side, even over last year where we finished sixth. And on the men's side, we were able to pick up, I think, about six new international guys. So we are kind of heavy on that side. I think we have about eight international men and four local guys. But, you know, that's what I mentioned earlier. I just went out and, you know, was able to sign some top kids from around the world, even with our, you know, our partial scholarships, to be able to make a very deep team.
Yeah. So In the course of your time there, with the increase in internationals, do you think that this helps with the depth of your program?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we're much deeper this year. We've beaten some D2 teams and stuff that we lost to the past couple years. So definitely, I think it helps with depth. I'm totally on the fence. I guess I'm not a for international or against international. I've noticed that these international guys, you know, they come, they don't necessarily have a car, they don't necessarily have not many friends around here. So basically they're focusing strictly on academics and tennis, which I like. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you there, Brian?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. The rivals that you have out there, adding all these international players, is that going to change your philosophy a little bit?
No, not really. Not as far as how we train, how we go about our daily routine, academics. No, it's not going to change anything. It's just a different, you know, that person may have a different background or whatever, but it's not going to change anything.
Are you in favor of the change, or do you like it the way it used to be, Brian?
I do not matter either way. I'm willing to just follow the rules and go with whatever. I did like the way it was with the two, you know, with two and then American kids, but I'm fine with it the way it is now, too. I know before, I think it probably made things a little more equal around the nation when you're only allowed two, and then you've got to get out and recruit local kids.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were the last bastion there for American players for a while, with only two internationals and the rest Americans. You know, in our programs here, what we tried to discuss was why didn't more divisions go to your model, being the JC's model of of two internationals and the rest Americans. It seems like this went the other way, though, Brian. It went JUCO's going more internationals, less Americans.
I agree. I was really shocked when they came out with the new rules. I thought possibly it would go back to maybe the way it used to be with, you know, you could allow two on scholarship and still allow any others to walk on or pay their own way. But it seemed like they kind of went extreme and they just cut it all out entirely. So I was kind of shocked to hear of the new way, I think we're just we'll follow the rules and try to compete and be as successful as possible, whatever those rules may be.
Yeah, speaking of rules, though, you recently added another junior college program. It seems like ASA now has two campuses. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, they've added the campus in Miami, so we'll now have two of those schools.
And then they had a men's program at both those institutions?
Yes. I haven't really talked to I believe Brian Slack has moved to Miami, and so they'll have men's and women's there as well as men's and women's back in New York, and have no idea who will be the coach in New York. I'm not sure if they have one yet or what, but that's as
much. We've had Brian on the show before. He's been very successful. And got to be one of those teams that you look at and you're going to be a rival with in the future, right, Brian?
Well, for sure. You know, our kids know they're good. I'm sure we're always a little jealous. You know, they're in big cities. They seem to have the budget of a Division I program. So that keeps us hungry and wanting to, you know, possibly beat them.
So what do you think your strengths are in recruiting, Brian?
I think my strengths are I like talking to the players straight up. I'm able to get out there on social media and find kids, talk to them. That social media is a great tool these days as far as finding kids, but it's also great as finding out what they're like, you know, if you want to back off of them from posting crazy things on there. We've had good relationships with some Division I schools that will you know, call and say, hey, I got this guy. Are you interested? And definitely, absolutely. So keeping good relationships with those Division I, Division II schools, if they have somebody that doesn't clear to get them in initially, I think it's just a whole total, you know, we always get tons of emails and videos. I would say I'm one that never passes those up. I definitely watch every video and check them out, look up their rankings, look up their results. So pretty much just all around, many different ways.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned that you do coach two programs there. What are some of the challenges that you face in coaching these two programs?
Oh, challenges, yeah. We have, on campus, we have a four-court facility, so we're doing separate practices. We're doing one men's practice for 2 hours, and then we'll do a women's practice for 2 hours, and then you'll do conditioning after that. So you ended up with 5 or 6 hours. That's pretty, you know, that's one of the challenges. That's pretty tiring. You know, always with possible state budgets and stuff like that, you might lose your assistant coach or funding for a little bit, so that's tough. But, you know, we always figure out a way to do, you know, we always figure out a way to be successful, and so we'll figure out a way around.
Brian, do you have an assistant coach there?
I do. This year I have a volunteer assistant, and it's a young man that's even helped me last year as well. So I have a volunteer assistant, and he's an absolute great help. You know, I think some people realize, you know, with having two teams and 21 players, you've really got to have some kind of help. With two different practices, you know as well, if you're playing in a tournament and you've got somebody on two or three different courts, it's almost impossible to coach, you know, all of those players by yourself. So that is, I think, a need. Any ADs or presidents or anyone listening out there, help your tennis team with maybe some kind of assistant if the budget allows.
Yeah, so you've been able to get some help. That's got to be a great relief in dealing with both of those teams.
For sure, for sure. You know, those are long days. I know you remember the days of the tennis tournaments, maybe 6 a.m. up on court from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Then you got to drive maybe 2 or 3 hours back somewhere or whatever. So the more help you can get, especially with tennis, you know, sometimes you're on different sites. You might be here at a tournament with one site, and you might have another girl at another site, so.
I mean, this is juggling at its best, Brian. You do an outstanding job.
I appreciate it. I love it. So, you know, it doesn't ever get me down. Just willing to get through it and do the best we can.
So you're headed out to regionals this weekend. Do you like your chances there, Brian?
I do. You know, I think we have a great chance on, like I mentioned earlier, a little bit on all four spots: men's singles, men's doubles, women's doubles. And I think we're definitely ready, and we've been already match tested several tough matches and some tournaments. So we'll see how it goes.
Have you got practice today, or are you already finished?
We do. Actually, my assistant's with the men right now, and so our men go 1 to 3, women 3 to 5, and we'll be on court today, and maybe a little bit lighter tomorrow since the tournament's Friday morning, and we start Friday morning.
So what are you going to be working on today, Brian?
We are going to be working on still more doubles. Probably a little more on doubles today. We have just come up with a couple of combinations. We've got two solid ones, and then on our girls as well. I feel like we could get better. You know, it's always hard a little bit finding that right person to fit together, as well as teaching, you know, net play and stuff like that, making the kids be more aggressive at net. Sometimes it's just naturally in a doubles player, but sometimes you got to really fire them up to get going.
So you leave for your trip on Thursday, is that right, Brian?
Yes, it's actually, it's not far at all. It's it's only an hour away, but, you know, being so early in the morning start time, I hate to travel that morning. And also, we would like, you know, it's the biggest tournament of fall, so we'd like to go get up there tomorrow and practice a little bit on the courts we're going to play on. And just get them ready, pretty much mainly ready in their head, you know, get their mind right on what they're looking forward to and what they're going to have to do to get the job done.
You know, it sounds like you're going to have an interesting weekend, to say the least here. I mean, you've got two teams, one big tournament. How much coaching are you going to get to do this weekend?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to be the tournament director as well. So, you know, we'll pretty much have it set up where there's a round on, and I can put all of those on and then get to court also. And then those finish, we'll get another round, and I'll get to the court also. That center is pretty big, so that'd be running the tournament desk plus coaching. Yeah, it's we did the same thing last weekend. I hosted a collegiate open with several D2 NAIA schools, and we had 282 players. So that was,
oh my gosh,
that was tough running the tournament desk as well as trying to coach my own players. But it was good, and we did well. So this weekend will be much smaller, so I'll definitely have more time to get to the courts and work with the kids.
So have you got a player in particular that you like their chances with this weekend, Brian?
You know, not one specific one, really. I'm very optimistic that we have several guys and girls that could possibly win this, so I'm really looking forward to watching some good matches, and even probably we'll see some good upsets this weekend. You know, our number one guy, like I mentioned earlier, he did win this and he won nationals last year. So, you know, he'll be the one that everybody's shooting for, and he has a great chance to do it again because he's still playing well. So I would say he has, you know, everybody will be looking for him.
Yeah, it's got to be a good going into the tournament with the chance to get to that small college events, Brian. So I want to wish you the best there.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
And I want to thank you for coming on today to talk about your program and about what's been going on with it, Brian.
For sure. I really appreciate you letting me come on. I love talking college tennis, and I'm not even that huge into pro tennis, but college tennis is what I love the most, and keep up with it all and love talking about it anytime.
Well, you keep up with it, do you? Well, what do you think about that new inaugural championship they had out there in Malibu?
It's great, you know. It's obviously another great event for Division I. I wish we could get... And I've been thinking of how to. I know some of us coaches, we need a little more exposure, I think, with the ITA, with junior college, with community college. And that's something us coaches, I think, need to work on. But, yeah, obviously another great event for Division I level.
Brian, I agree. It seems like there would be a way to get more interdivisional play at the Division I level, particularly that starting opening weekend, that kickoff weekend that they have.
Right. Yep.
They could open that up to 8 teams and have you guys come in and play just like they do everyone else, don't you think?
Mhm. You know, I've been thinking about that for a couple of years, and I really wish the ITA, I guess we really need to get organized as a JUCO bunch and propose something. But you know, I wish we had some type of indoor championship or even some kind of a dual match championship. I know Dash down at TJC, he's starting a great men's JUCO weekend. For the past 8 years, I've had a good tournament with 8 or 10 JUCO teams in April. But I think we need to get the ITA involved and get them to, you know, maybe help out with a little promotion and a little website play, just to kind of get our division out there and maybe even come up with some official title of, you know, JUCO, like you did back in the, you know, like you did at Lee with the JUCO, you know, some kind of dual match championships or something like that.
Yeah, we knew there at Lee that would help. you know, you need kind of a Grand Slam type feeling to all this. I mean, you need to have four championships that you can win in the year and be able to show everyone how you're doing in the course of the year. It doesn't have to be won by the same player, but just to have those four events, like you mentioned, an indoor event, a dual match champion, those are things that help these kids, and these kids want to do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the dual match thing would be great. We're the only division that plays individual flighted championship, which I do love in May, but still some kind of other little, maybe a little smaller event where we have eight teams and maybe even give out a trophy for a dual match champion. I think that would give coaches and teams in JUCO a little, that would give them even more hungry to say they won that, say they competed in that, and also just get us on the ITA site and you know, more publication, more publicized.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for coming on the air today and talking about your program, and I want to wish you the best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate it. Yep, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll be looking to catch up with you in the future.
Sure, anytime. Just holler at me, and I'll be glad to come back on anytime.
All right, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, head coach Brian Nelson. Brian is the coach there at Seminole State and in Oklahoma, and he's been doing an outstanding job over there now for nine seasons. His teams are always nationally ranked, always in the national hunt, and excited that he joined us for today's program. And check him out. Check out that program if you've got some kids or some internationals that you might know about that need places to play. Check out Coach Nelson there at Seminole State, I don't think you'll be disappointed with the experience that he gives those kids. Want to thank you for listening in today, and we'll be back next week. On next week's show, we've got head coach Brian Kalbas from the University of North Carolina. We're going to talk some of his U.S. Open tennis and what's going on over there at North Carolina. So thanks for listening in today, and go out there and play some tennis if you can. Bye-bye.